Welcome to Real FM Rewind. Here's some highlights from the week. The only thing stopping you is sometimes yourself. Zoe here with you on Real FM, and a few days ago I took my little brother rock climbing, and man, it was a little embarrassing to watch 8 and 9 year olds scurry up these rock walls while I'm huffing and puffing, out of breath, stuck in the middle, and scared to finish the climb. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was like just a fear of heights or just a fear of not being able to do it. I'm not really sure what my mental block was, but it was indeed a mental block. I was physically capable of reaching the top. I just couldn't do it for some reason. And after several attempts, I finally had a switch click in my head where I realized I was the one stopping myself from reaching the top. And I was really proud that I did reach the top on one of the rock walls. And I was like, yes, I did it. I finally did it. And it just took that switch mentally to realize that I could do it. And that's a lesson that applies to much more than rock walls. But boy, am I sore today.
One of the key lessons I think I've learned as a parent is that kids and adults are not always as different as we like to think they are.
Yeah.
Sometimes our problems are very similar. It's just the kids have a slightly more childish version of it, right?
Yeah.
For example, my kids, they spend a lot of time complaining about things that they perceive to be not fair.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
That's not fair is a very common refrain in our house.
So true.
Why does she get to stay up late? Mm. Why does he get to go to a friend's house? Why do I have to do this chore and they have to do that chore?
Yeah.
It's not fair.
Sounds about right.
And I think as adults, like, we may better understand that life isn't fair, but that doesn't mean that we like it.
No, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And you can see this in all sorts of ways, even down to like when somebody gives you a Christmas gift that's worth $20 and you only give them one worth $10.
Yeah.
You feel bad. The next Christmas, you're like, oh, I'm going to give them one worth $30, right?
Right.
Or something like that. I think just by the nature of who we are, we like to earn our way. We like to get credit for what we do.
Yeah.
And I'm learning, I think that's why sometimes I have a really hard time with the concept of grace.
Oh.
Because grace doesn't work like that.
Interesting.
Has completely different rules.
That's a good point.
And we talk about this with our kids too, that grace isn't about fairness. It's not about equality. It's kind of about unfairness.
Yeah.
Actually.
Hmm.
Right? Like over the weekend, one of my daughters was upset that the other daughter wasn't, in her eyes, adequately punished for something that she did wrong.
Well, there you go.
That's
right?
Not fair.
Yeah.
That's a common complaint too.
Interesting.
Right? It's why the older brother in the prodigal son story was so upset when his younger prodigal brother returned home to a party.
Yeah.
Right?
He's like, wait a second.
Yeah. I thought these words from Philip Yancey were really good. He says, with grace, we're not getting the credit. Mm. We're getting the benefit, but we're not getting the credit because it's a gift.
Mm.
It's a gift that God holds out to us.
Yeah.
And just by nature, we want to climb the ladder on our own.
Mm.
We want to show how we're a little bit higher up the rung than the people that are beneath us.
Wow.
But grace doesn't work that way.
Mm.
It turns the ladder upside down.
Wow.
And the people you least expect are almost the closest to God because they're aware that they failed. And they want to receive God's forgiveness and grace. We must learn that there's nothing good in us. It's only the gift of grace from God.
Pull the lever, Kronk. No, not that lever. Zoe here with you on Real FM, and that's just a quote from an amazing movie called The Emperor's New Groove. It's got these two characters, Kuzco and Kronk, and if you have no idea what I'm talking about, I highly recommend checking out the movie. But the reason why I'm bringing up Kuzco and Kronk is because those are the names of these two rats who have learned how to drive. They are literally pulling and pushing levers. This is just incredible. Kuzco and Kronk have a very devoted and mechanically gifted owner who just, you know, crafted up some little rat-sized taxis for them to fit in and for them to drive around in, and trained them how to drive in these things. And there's a video of it, and it is just so cool, but also kind of terrifying because I guess they're fully autonomous with being able to drive these things around. They can even go out the back, like doggy door, and go outside and drive all night if they want to. I'm like, wouldn't that be terrifying to accidentally stumble upon some mini taxis with some rats in it going, hey, I'm driving here.
It's interesting, Anson. You were talking about just a little bit ago grace and how sometimes we as humans don't like grace. It kind of rubs us the wrong way when we see it given to other people.
Yeah, right.
But I think it's also, it's helpful to keep in mind with a subject like comparison. When you find yourself endlessly scrolling through social media and comparing yourself to everybody else and all of their accomplishments, grace can be a really helpful reframe. I was reading something from Holly Gert today that she was talking about. She found herself doing this recently, and she found herself repeating the phrase, look what she did, looking at all these accomplishments.
Yeah.
And she was feeling this sense of guilt and heaviness, like, I should be doing that too. I think that's interesting. And she started to kind of wrestle with this and ask God about it. Like, what do I do with this? And she realized if she replaced one word in that phrase, it turns it on its head completely. Instead of saying, look what she did, to say, look what God did. And she said, I realized in my own life, I can turn that phrase around and look at it as well. People ask me all the time, how did you get where you are today?
Yeah.
And she says, I mean, God did it. And so I think that that's helpful too. Grace applies in both directions. Sometimes we don't like it when we see other people receive it, but we have to recognize that we've received it as well.
Yeah.
And anytime we look at someone and see like the blessings they've been given, or maybe they got a break that we didn't get, we have to look back at ourselves and say, yeah, but look what God did. So in their life and also in mine.
Scrolling my Facebook feed and seeing all of the pictures of kids in their prom attire and going and doing prom, it brought back memories of when I went to prom, and I thought it was worth pointing out that sometimes our expectations of what something should be like, or by comparing our experience to other people's, we can really rob us of our own joy. Zoe here with you on Real FM, and the goal, the dream, the hope with prom, right, is to have a date. That's like the thing, is you're supposed to have a date to go to prom and do all the cute pictures and everything. I feel like this is especially true for girls. We especially want to have a guy ask us out. Even if we don't really like the guy, I think it's just nice to be asked to prom by a person. That never happened to me over my many years of going to my homeschool prom. That just didn't happen. And one year, I was determined I really wanted to have a date to prom, but I had a long-distance boyfriend, so he couldn't be my date to prom. So I asked my guy friend, Alex, if we could be platonic dates. And he kinda agreed, but not really. And like early on into prom, he kinda left me and did his own thing. We barely hung out during the entire prom evening, and I hung out with my other friends. So it didn't really work out. And it's just kind of funny. I thought that I wanted this thing so badly, to have a date, to have that idea of what prom is supposed to be. And it didn't end up working out the way that it's quote unquote supposed to be. And that's okay. I still enjoyed myself. I had a good time. I hung out with my friends. And that's the important thing. And I think it's so true to life in other areas of life where we have these expectations. We think it's supposed to be this way because that's what everyone else normally experiences. But then we just get all our hopes and dreams on those expectations. They might not happen, and we might feel sad or upset, or this isn't supposed to be like this. I'm supposed to have a date to prom, or it's supposed to be like this. And that's not true to life. Life is so many ups and downs. Journeys are never the same, and it can really rob us when we play that comparison game. Just have fun.
When I grow old, Kara, I want to be just like Mr. Vincent Dransfield.
Ooh, Vincent Dransfield. Who's that?
He is a super centenarian.
Oh.
Which means he is 110 years old.
Okay, that's amazing.
Yeah. He lives in New Jersey, still drives his own car every day.
Whoa.
Gets his own coffee at the convenience store.
Wow.
Buys his own lunch, lives independently in his home.
Oh my goodness.
Where he has lived since 1945, by the way.
What?
Unassisted.
That's crazy.
His grandchildren visit him once a week to bring him some groceries, and they call every few days to check in, but otherwise he's on his own. He's in good health.
That's amazing.
So he's got a little bit of an achy knee, but other than that, he's doing pretty good.
I mean, I feel like I'm in worse health than he is.
That's not bad for 110, right?
That's impressive.
He's even got his bedroom upstairs, and he does his laundry down in the basement.
Oh my word!
Going up and down stairs and everything.
That's incredible.
Here's my favorite part about Vincent, though.
Yeah.
You've probably seen interviews with like 100 people who are over 100. And people always want to ask, you know, what is the key
yes.
to like a long, healthy life?
And, yeah.
Vincent, you know, he was like, well, sure, I drink lots of milk. I got plenty of exercise from serving as a volunteer firefighter for many, many decades.
Yeah.
But his primary advice is very simple. He says, knowing people and loving people
oh.
makes me live longer.
Well, that is just the best.
Right?
Oh,
spend
Vincent.
Your time in community with the people you love. Doing the things that you
wow.
love. That's the advice from Vincent.
So cool.
This right here, this is sharing the love of God with people. I love this so much. Zoe here with you on Real FM. And as one does, I was scrolling on social media and I found a video that was actually worth watching and resharing. It's the video of a DJ. He's in a park at a park table and bench, and he's got his little like DJ setup all hooked up, and he's got a sign that says, sit here if you feel unlovable. Ooh, that one cuts deep. I know for so many people, so sad how so many people probably feel that way. And so of course, someone sits down with him at the table. The person puts on some headphones, and then this DJ starts mixing up some music and singing directly to this person, saying, hey, I can see the stress on your face. And he's like singing to him basically with all the DJ stuff. And this guy's like, oh, he's talking to me. Oh. And he starts saying things like, you are loved, you are not broken, and all of these positive, amazing affirmations, but with the DJ music mixed in. And this guy's bopping his head and he's like, yeah, yeah. By the end of the song, they like fist bump, and this guy's demeanor has completely shifted from downcast and downtrodden to just, you know, upbeat and like free. And isn't that so true? When we share with people the truth of who they are and that God loves them, it sets people free.
This is a world record I can get behind. And also I'm a little bit jealous of and kind of wish I was a part of.
Yeah.
A school in Australia recently made a world record by setting off 2013 confetti cannons at the same time.
Wow.
To celebrate its 40th anniversary and break a Guinness World Record at the same time.
Nice. That's a lot of confetti cannons.
So many. And we do these a lot during our fundraiser celebration weeks. And I'm just thinking, we need to up our game.
Yeah.
I'm going to pass this
How
along.
How many have we done at a time?
I mean,
maybe like four?
Four, maybe
four or five.
At the most. And that seems dangerous.
So we've only got like 2009
I mean,
or
you know,
so more to add.
Just a little bit to make up.
We could do that.
Yeah, no big deal.
At what age do you think you're going to start thinking that you're old? Zoe here with you on Real FM, and I'm 25, and I'll have those moments where I think, man, I've gotten old, which I know is silly because 25 may not seem like very old, but my younger siblings who are teenagers have told me that I'm old, so I feel it every now and again. But for poor Miranda Cosgrove, she was called old recently. And if you don't know who Miranda Cosgrove is, she is an actress most known for playing Carly in the show iCarly from Nickelodeon. It's been a point of talk because of a recent documentary. She's been in the news and such, and she's been promoting a latest project. And she's 30 years old, but we all knew her as a teenager on that TV show way back when. And it's just crazy how time has flown, and now suddenly she's a 30-year-old actress. I know her as well from Despicable Me. She plays Margot in Despicable Me, so she's done a ton of stuff. But she was at Target, and there was a little boy about 7 years old. He was in the same aisle as her, and she thought, oh, he might recognize me. But instead, he said to her, you got old. And isn't that true with some actors and actresses? If we see them as kids in movies and TV shows, and then we see them in something more recent, we're like, ooh, you have aged. But we all age.
Medical experts, doctors, nurses in Australia have a public service announcement for everyone.
Okay.
And I think they're probably speaking for medical professionals worldwide.
Yeah.
When they say this, please stop bringing snakes to hospitals.
Oh, well, you know, that seems like a fair request.
I think so. Apparently what's happening, at least down in Australia, is snake bite victims are bringing the offending serpents with them to the hospital.
Why?
I think presumably to show what snake bit them.
Well, you know.
So that you know, like, was it poisonous? Was it not?
Ah.
I mean, that take kind a of thing. Picture.
Right.
Come on.
That's probably a good way
why,
to do it.
Why would you do that?
Brilliant. If only we had thought of that sooner,
amazing,
right?
Amazing, right.
Apparently this happened recently at a hospital in Queensland. A snake bite victim came in with a very highly venomous eastern brown snake in a poorly secured Tupperware container.
No.
Yeah, and the hospital staff was like super freaked out by this.
Of course.
And the experts, they're saying like, look, this delays other people's time to treatment.
Yeah.
We want to get people seen and assessed quickly, and having live poisonous snakes in our department slows us down.
You know.
Which, I mean.
Understandably.
Right, that makes sense. He also points out, look, we're medical professionals. We can't identify the snake anyway.
Yeah.
We don't know what snake that is.
Right.
But we can determine through other tests if you need antivenom and what kind you need based on blood tests and snake venom detection kits and all that kind of stuff. So leave the snake.
Yes.
Back at home.
Bring yourself. Leave the snake.
When you go to the hospital, right.
Fair. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to the Real FM Rewind. Make sure to check out all of our podcasts on the Real FM app or at real.fm. And don't forget, be kind and rewind.